Cincinnati falls to Baylor 68-56, 20-14. The record in the Big 12 ends up being what? They won 9-12 in Big 12 games this season. A net ranking that'll probably finish them in the low to mid 30s, which would be the highest ranked team to ever be left out of the tournament. The Bearcats went up 10-1 in this game, looked excellent out of the gate. Dan Skillings was continuing to look like one of the best players on the floor, getting out in transition. Fran Fraschella has a big old crush on Dan Skillings and Jizzle James. Jizzle was adding some step-back jumpers into the fold. Azeez picked up two early fouls, kind of shifted the momentum, but Cincinnati still had the two-point halftime lead. How were you feeling going into the break?
I felt like we should have been up more. I mean, Baylor could not hit any shots at all. Our defense was suffocating. We've done it all year. And we were up 2 points going into half. I did not love that at all. And we came out with a dud in the second half. I mean, once it came down to a couple bad calls, right? The Jizzle James flagrant was insane to me. Horrible. I think it was 12 fouls to 4, I believe, in the first half, which we weren't a team chucking a bunch of threes. Okay, we saw the Steph Curry, Klay Thompson game against West Virginia. It wasn't happening tonight. And we were going to the rim and no calls whatsoever. The refs didn't help us at all. You got to be up more than two after the way that we played in the first half. And so, no, I did not feel good about where we were standing going into the second half. And then we came out with a dud and got down damn near, 14 points and brought it back like we always do. But nobody had faith that we were going to come back and finish that game. I mean, let's be real. We've seen this a billion times.
That's the sad reality of the Cincinnati Bearcats basketball team. They just weren't good enough. But my issue, I think this team is talented. It's Jizzle and Dan's team next year. They got some pretty good players. They have some good freshmen coming in. Their highest rated recruit in years in Tyler Betsy. They're not that far off. You can see the blueprint there. You'd see the stars starting to align. This team plays hard. They found their identity. The last couple of years, they lacked toughness. They got bullied on the inside consistently. This team was doing the bullying. Unfortunately, they look a lot like every Cincinnati team in the last 25 years or so, and they can't shoot. That sucked. But the sad reality is this team was not good enough. This is a nine-seeded team we're watching. You say, well, Chuck, that's decent, nine-seed. The issue is they're not a nine-seed. They're going to be a one-seed or two-seed in the NIT because they blew games that they should have won this season. This team should have won 22 games. They should have lost 12. Instead, they're 20-14. They're going to miss out on the big dance. I will say one thing. For those of you that are asking, like, what are the chances that Cincinnati could get into the NCAA tournament? Let's start off with this. Last four in, per Joe Lunardi, before this game, Seton Hall, Colorado, Virginia, Texas A&M are the last four in. First four out, Indiana State, New Mexico, Pitt, Providence. Then you look at the next four out, Kansas State, Wake Forest, Villanova, Cincinnati. So Cincinnati was literally the last team even on the bubble. And they lose to Baylor. Sure, it was close. Sure, the efficiency may have given them good enough numbers to keep them at that 33 spot in the net rankings, which I mentioned earlier would be the best-ranked team to ever miss out on the NCAA tournament. But you can't make a pitch right now. You went 7-11 in the conference. You scheduled no one in the out-of-conference. The two teams you scheduled, Xavier and Dayton, you lost. Dayton being on a neutral floor. Dayton lost to Duquesne today. They're not even their own conference champion. I don't have an argument. I do think that this is an NCAA tournament team. I'm looking at those teams. Seton Hall, Virginia, Pitt, New Mexico, Providence. Give me a break. Cincinnati's just as good as those teams. But at the end of the day, they earned it more. Probably just based on, maybe not Indiana State, but the rest of them based on their non-conference schedule alone. That's what we're going to look back on this year. It wasn't the close losses in the Big 12, although that's probably my biggest takeaway. But takeaway 1B is that this team didn't schedule good enough in the non-conference, and it's going to hurt them on Selection Sunday, we think. I'd say the chances they get in, it's more than 1%. I'd say it's about 2.3%. On the Chuck metrics, based on the fact alone that the computers like him. So you never know. We'll cross our fingers, but I'm not going to be sweating.
No, I mean, it's hard to make an argument, and you and I both know the committee watches this show specifically religiously. So we got to give them a little bit, you know, we got to hype them up slightly here, but we had it all in front of us. If we win this game, if we beat Baylor, then I'd feel way more comfortable as a possibility that I would believe at that point we belong in the tournament. You lose this game, it's tough. I mean, we beat a Kansas team that was, you know, their two best players didn't play in the game. It's a tough argument. It's an uphill battle. It just, again, it sucks because they were so close. And you have CMOS and Day-Day, who looked like prime Klay Thompson and Steph Curry a couple nights ago. Just absolute duds tonight. I mean, couldn't throw the ball into the ocean. I think what? They had a Day-Day and CMOS, 8 total points, 2 for 15. That's going to be tough to beat Baylor on a neutral site, man. It's going to be tough to do. And, again, it's hard when you expect a team to win 3 games in 3 nights. And you know, they got no legs on them. CMOS clearly didn't have it. And here we are. We're going to the NIT again, Chuck. Back-to-back NIT appearances.
Jizzle James and Dan Skillings, they've been a pleasure. Hopefully we see them next year because it's the best, youngest core we've had since fill-in-the-blank. Chad, help me out. Maybe Gary Clark, Jacob Evans? Maybe? 1-2 punch? Like, that's a hell of a core you're working with. The chat's saying Jizzle James is gone. I don't think so. Why does everyone just assume that Jizzle's gone? Cincinnati has NIL money. We packed the stands. We're a Big 12 team. Now, I am afraid that John Calipari is getting in his car in about 2 weeks. And he's heading down to Cincy, and he says, hey, Jizzle, I got a gold pass. Let's go to Kings Island on me. We'll hop on Delirium. We'll wait in that line for about 45 minutes, and we'll talk about you playing in Kentucky Blue and checkered shorts next year. That terrifies me. But for the most part, I think Jizzle enjoyed his time here, is enjoying his time in Cincinnati. He's got the edge at every single game. I don't see Jizzle leaving. I think the majority of this core is coming back next year. The question is, who stays, who goes? How does this roster look next year to you?
I don't think Jizzle James is going anywhere. As far as NIL money is concerned, I mean, let's not forget his dad is a Hall of Fame running back. I don't think he's hurting for the extra, you know, $200,000. He had a goddamn gym in his house growing up. I don't know if he needs the additional cash that Louisville might pay him or something along those lines. And at the end of the day, man, his dad's going to tell him straight.
He's our starting point guard.
Is he considering it? What do you want to do? You want to be, you know, option E on a Kentucky team with a bunch of McDonald's All-Americans? Or do you want to be the guy for UC with a strong core of Lacocious, Skillings, and Jizzle? And Day-Day Thomas, as much as we gave him shit to start this year, and he had a bad game tonight, I do not mind him at all. He's one of the most athletic guys that we've seen in a UC uniform in a long time. So I think you bring those guys back. Aziz is coming back. You bring back Jameel. You got to get a big that can finish in the post without just the straight bully ball. Because as awesome as Aziz is defensively, I mean, an absolute liability on offense. I mean, it's tough for him to stand up for multiple possessions in a row. But I still love Aziz in the game. And him going out early with 2 fouls really hurt us. Need to improve the down low presence on an offensive side of things, and hopefully Skillings takes that jump and Jizzle takes that jump. The future is bright. The future is absolutely bright for the UC Bearcats right now.
I didn't see it a couple of weeks ago. I was extremely emotional, upset, and said that Wes going into next year is probably going to be on the hot seat. Now, I don't think he's on the hot seat by any means, but if they don't make the NCAA tournament next year, I think he could absolutely get fired potentially after next year. I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world if they're bad. Thing is, I think all Bearcats fans are in agreement that they're not going to be bad next year. You heard Fran Fraschilla raving over these guys. Like, they got a good core in place with more coming in. Who does Cincinnati lose? Odio Guama. They lose potentially Sage Tolentino. We'll see if he comes back. And John Newman. Who's in? Ravon Griffith, Tyler Betsy, Tyler McKinley. Question marks. C.J. Frederick, is he coming back next year? He has eligibility somehow because he played that freshman season in 1920 for Iowa, and that was the COVID year, and then he transferred. So he only played a couple years at Iowa, then he played a year at Kentucky, and then a year at Cincinnati. But because, you know, he's got that COVID year, he could still come back next year. He's like one of the last people on planet Earth that could still use that COVID year. I believe it would appear that he's one of the last human beings on planet Earth that can use that COVID year. Is C.J. Frederick coming back next year? We wanted that shooter. We got that shooter. We didn't see him down the stretch of the season or really when it mattered at all.
In theory, C.J. Frederick is a guy that you absolutely want on your roster. I was excited when he came. In reality, the guy can't play more than 10 games a year. We saw it at Kentucky. We saw it this year. It's really hard to put a scholarship on a kid. And he's awesome, man. We interviewed him early in the show. We interviewed our guy CJ, and he was awesome. The problem is he can't stay healthy. He really can't. It's tough to give a scholarship to a kid that you can't even bank on 20 games a season. So I think we're going to move off him.
I think I'm in the same camp as you. Not because I want to move on from him. I just think he's probably done and over it. He's played college basketball since 1920 at this point. We're going into, you know, 2024, 2025 next season. I think he's probably looking to potentially do something else. But, hey, he didn't finish on his terms. It was a rough season. Maybe he wants to come back and do it one more time. And you know that if he's healthy, he can help the team in some facet. But he's not the same player that he was at Iowa, even his freshman year, where he was a lethal force to have on your team and on the wing. So I think you're probably right. They move on from him. How about Victor Locken? Down the stretch, we saw his role diminished. Then he gets hurt, comes back today. I didn't expect him to play in the game. Played some good minutes in the first half when Aziz picked up a couple of fouls, hit some shots, dropped the ball that Jizzle ended up saving him on by getting it back and nailing a jumper, but it went right through Locken's hands. Is Victor coming back next season? Because Wes Miller, his situation right now is simple to me. Everyone's giving Wes Miller next year and probably two more years realistically, but they're giving him next year to get this team back to the NCAA tournament, or at least right there to the point where it's like, all right, the next year, 25-26, this team's loaded. Wes Miller's not going anywhere. But that's the situation right now. You know, he just can't bomb next year, and he's going to be here for the foreseeable future. With that being said, they can't bomb. They can't have another season like this year where they went 7-11 in their conference. They lost both of their rival games, and they lost more home games in the Big 12 than they want. They can't have that again. So what do they need to do? They need to strike gold in the portal, and they need to upgrade. Does Victor Locken need to be upgraded from? Is that a hard conversation that he's going to have? Josh Reed, we've seen his shot lately. He can't even hit the rim. He's a great defender. He's a good rebounder. He plays a role. But can you upgrade from him? This is the sad reality of college basketball. These are your guys. You're giving them a scholarship. They go to your school. They represent. They work hard. They play. They're getting paid now. It's a completely different story. These coaches are getting paid millions. The fans are shelling out all sorts of money. The donors throwing the big bucks at the Cincinnati Bearcats Athletic Department. We expect a winner. 20-14, that sucks. It's unacceptable. And at the end of the day, they need to be better. If he runs it back next season, only adding Tyler McKinley, Tyler Betsy, and Ravon Griffith, and swaps out those three and keeps CJ, and this team goes 20-14 again, I don't know if he sees another season. I really don't.
Listen, the goal is, and Wes, trust me, the guy, he probably won't sleep tonight if I know Wes well.
I believe he's the guy. He coached his ass off today, and I believe he's the guy. I have to preface that by saying I think Wes Miller is going to be here for a long time, and he's going to be a fantastic head coach. But we've all been wrong before, and at some point you got to cut your losses if he's not getting the job done. I think 4 years would be plenty of time if this team is not more competitive than they were this year, to at least start pondering the question, is there a chance we're wrong about this guy? But I think right now, everything we've seen, the way his guys rally for him, the identities instilled, I do believe that he is the guy. I'm just saying there needs to be upgrades made. They need to upgrade the talent. He's going to have some hard conversations. It's a matter of who's coming back next year and who's leaving.
So the nice thing is we're not in the same boat we were last year, right? Last year, if we didn't hit, I mean, we're talking four or five portal guys, we are in massive trouble. Right now, we're a player or two away. We're losing Newman. God love Newman. Salute to Jonathan Newman. Exceeded my expectations of what he would do this year. All Big 12 defender. Fantastic stuff. We are a couple players away, and I think if we can snag a scoring transfer portal guy, and there's going to be a lot, as we've seen, every kid under the sun who averages more than 12 points a game in the MAC conference immediately goes to the portal. So we're going to have opportunities to grab some guys. We're just not far off. Last year, it was like we need to rehaul the entire roster. We're close. We get one or two guys. At the end of the day, you want eight guys in your rotation. You want to bring in 10 guys that are competing for those eight spots. We're not far off. We need a guy that is a go-to scorer. And if we get that, I think we're going to be in a really good spot, man. I'm already losing my voice. I was screaming by myself in my living room, throwing shit. The drywall, it's going to need to be repaired. It is what it is.
Your voice just went in a second, man. Offseason or NIT? I think we know the answer. Wes is going to accept an NIT berth, assuming that's what happens. I guess let's win the damn thing. I am going to say right now, unless the Bearcats make the championship game or Final Four, we're not going to do the live post-game shows. We'll put everything up on the podcast app. But the live on a Saturday for an NIT game, I don't want to say it's beneath us because we respect free basketball, but it's beneath us, Houdini.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up and do a 10:30 show because we just beat Fordham or something, you know, in the first round. I just don't know if personally I can do it. But, hey, as you said, Wes is never going to decline free basketball. You got guys like Newman and Odie. You think he's going to go into the locker room and say, hey, do you want to play a couple more games of your college career? They're going to absolutely say yes, and Wes is going to say yes. And I don't think he's in a position right now to decline, honestly. If we're bringing this core back, you might as well get some reps in, get your younger guys. And it is hilarious that Fran actually said on the last broadcast, we're the oldest team. Remember I said we were a young team? We're the oldest team by age in college basketball in the entire country. We are the oldest team. And let's get even older. Fuck it. We might as well be 30. Me and you might suit up next year.
Cincinnati shot at 40% from the floor, only 5 of 22 from deep. That's good for 22%. Day-Day Thomas, after going crazy with the 7 three-pointers, really struggled. He was 1 of 4. Simas, who hit 7 the other day, 1 of 6. The combined 2 for 10. That's not going to get it done. John Newman, in his last Big 12 game, 12 points, 6 rebounds. He played well for Cincinnati. Skillings led the way with 15. Jizzle James had 12. Jameel Reynolds had 5. Victor Locken had 4. 3 for Day-Day Thomas. And 5 for Simas Lukosius. On the other side, Cincinnati held Baylor to just 39% shooting. 5 of 19 from deep, that's 26%. Baylor dominated Cincinnati on the glass. We haven't heard that much this year. 39-28, the final tally in favor of the Baylor Bears. But UC showed their flashes defensively, man. Holding Baylor to 68 is impressive. They're a top 5 offensive team in the country. They held them without a field goal for the first 8 minutes of the game. But in the second half, you mentioned it, Baylor had that stretch where they hit 7 straight shots, went up 14, and never really looked back despite Cincinnati making it a game. This season's most likely over unless we get that miracle on Selection Sunday. We'll try to win the NIT. We won't hang up the banner. The athletic department will. I won't personally. I won't celebrate the NIT. But, I mean, it's good momentum going into the next year. Winning the NIT never hurts. It's Scott Satterfield time. And I know our guy Ron, who's out in Scottsdale, Arizona right now, is like, God, Wes, no! Scott Satterfield sucks! The football team's horrible! That's what we're dealing with right now. It's time for Scott Satterfield to save us. Your thoughts on the football team, spring football. Are you getting excited yet? This basketball season has come and gone.
I mean, I see Sorsby from Indiana. I just see him throw a spiral, like an 8-yard out, and I go, I see it. I see it. I see the potential. So it can only go up, right, from what we saw last year. It's hilarious that me and you had a podcast about after we beat Pittsburgh, we're like, I think this team might finish in the top of the Big 12, and we proceeded to lose, like, the next 9 games. Listen, it's yet to be seen, right? I'm not going to do anything until we're in the heart of Big 12 play. It can only go up from here. I think Sorsby is a much better quarterback than Emory Jones. So hopefully we can get something. I mean, just put the program in the right trajectory. We're in the damn playoff a couple years ago. So let's hope we put it on the right track. That's all I'll say there.
Now's the time to tell you about the chatter. If you haven't joined the chatter yet, do so. Subscribe to the Chatter Podcast. You may not be hearing from Chuck and Houdini for a little bit. We will do the NIT shows, and we will get you some shows to get ready for football, obviously, when the Bearcats have some news in the portal. Look, we're here to entertain, but most importantly, to inform. So if there's something to inform you on, we are going to do that, whether it's the summer or not. Whether it's just me, whether it's just Houdini, whether it's the both of us, whatever it may be, we're going to give you that information. But if you want to hear the banter, the fun stuff, it's the show, The Chatter. We've had on great guests, and we'll see you there. Spotify, Apple, Houdini, final word.
Thanks for coming out all year, The Chat. It's been a pleasure to host these shows after. I wish it would have turned out a little differently, but it's been fun, man. Everybody, thank you for tuning in, throwing a little bit of banter in the chat room. It's been awesome.
Wes Miller and a very devastated group of Bearcats addressing the media after their loss to Baylor in the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals here in Kansas City. Alex Frank, Chatterbox Bearcats and Chatterbox Sports. Wes Miller said that he thought the Bearcats' defense in the first half was really good. He said John Newman played about as good of a game defensively as you could have played. And he said it's that reason that he's frustrated that the Bearcats couldn't win this game. But the reasons why the Bearcats weren't able to win this game, Wes Miller said, was Baylor's zone and the fact that the Bearcats were fatigued after playing heavy minutes in 3 games in 3 days. Wes Miller said the Bearcats only watched about 45 minutes worth of film on Baylor's zone prior to the game Thursday night, and the consecutive day nature of the Big 12 tournament and the postseason in college basketball doesn't allow you to extensively look at wrinkles like Baylor's zone. And that's why the Bearcats just could not get over the hump in the second half. They did pull to within 4 points at one point in the second half, after being down by 14, but Baylor pulled away late for a 12-point win. Wes Miller said that they're not looking ahead towards the offseason. In fact, that was Dan Skillings Jr. who said that. Wes Miller echoed those same sentiments, though. He said that he believes the Bearcats are an NCAA tournament team, and he took a shot at Joe Lunardi of ESPN Bracketology, who Wes Miller says hasn't been on the Bearcats side all year. He said that he believes he has an NCAA tournament team, that the Big 12 deserves 10 to 11 teams to get into the NCAA tournament. Dan Skillings Jr. himself said that Cincinnati plays basketball in the month of March, and by that he means in the NCAA tournament. We'll find out if the Bearcats do get into the NCAA tournament on Selection Sunday. While projections suggest they will not, it's not for sure until the field of 68 is revealed Sunday night. But the Bearcats, as Dan Skillings says, they're not looking ahead towards the offseason, even though I did ask Wes Miller if there will be an emphasis on finishing higher in the Big 12 standings in future seasons to avoid having to play so many games in so many days to win the Big 12 championship. And he says he doesn't need to put an emphasis on that because he has players who want to win so badly night in and night out. And it goes back to the foundational things that he says were implemented by this group that he says he's proud of and loves this group. He says that it was a joy to coach this group this season, a selfless group that laid foundational things in place for future seasons to come. And that's why Wes Miller promises higher finishes in the Big 12, despite it adding 4 more teams to make it 16. And that will enable the Bearcats to have to play fewer games in as many days to win Big 12 tournament championships. Wes Miller also had high praise for the Big 12 tournament overall, saying that it is a first-class, old-school college basketball tournament. He compared it to the ACC tournament he went to growing up in Greensboro, North Carolina. So despite the loss and Baylor zone and fatigue playing heavy roles in the Bearcats' loss, he had some high praise for his team. He campaigned for his team to make the NCAA tournament and praised the Big 12 tournament overall. And I can attest to that. Everybody here, from the players, the coaches, to the workers, to the volunteers, to anybody at T-Mobile's, at the T-Mobile Center here in Kansas City, it has been an incredible experience. And the Bearcats, he said, he praised his group for being able to win 20 games in their first season of the toughest conference in college basketball. John Newman says it is a highlight of his career, not just as a Bearcat, but his 6 seasons overall of college basketball.